Sambhu devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the Sambhu devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru, Sri Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Vishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text Number 33. The prose verse are chanted by self. Sarvadikshu raso dasu gavdito dakshu vadahi nando dasu dodaha sapta jaladhyaya sapta dvipa paritya iva vyantara dvipa samana vikarshena vitanu purvam Saptas Vyapi Vahya Dvipeshu Pritak Parita Upatta Pritas Teshu Jambu Vyashu Vahish Mati Patir Anivatanam Nan Majan Agni Dred Himajva Yajya Bahu Hiranyaloto Vita Pushka Medhatiti Veti Potra Samyan Yata Sankhya Naikai Shasmin Vitam Evadipatim Vidade Chara Salt Uda Water Bhikshurasa,
Bhikshurasa,
the liquid extract, from sugar cane, Buddha, water, Sura, liquor, Buddha, water, Rita, clarified butter, Buddha, water, Shira, milk. Buddha, water, Dadi, Manda, emulsified yogurt, Buddha, water, Shudha, and drinking water.
Sapta,
seven.
Jaladhyayaha,
oceans.
Sapta,
seven.
Dvipa,
islands. Parikyaha,
trenches.
Eva,
like.
Abhyantara,
internal.
Dvipa,
islands.
Samanaha,
equal to.
Ekasyena,
one after another.
Yata anupurvam,
in chronological order.
Saptasu,
seven.
Api,
although.
Bahi,
outside.
Vipeshu,
in islands.
Utak,
separate.
Paritaha,
all around.
Upakalpitaha,
situated.
Teshu,
within them.
Jambu
Adishu,
beginning with
Jambu.
Bahishmati,
of Bahishmati.
Patihi,
the husband.
Anuvratan,
who are actually followers
of the Father's principles.
Atmajan,
sons.
Agnidra Ijma Jiva
Yajyabahu
Hiranyaretaha
Vrita
Krishta
Medhaditi
Vittihotra
Samgyan,
named
Agnidra,
Adima
Jiva,
Yajna Bahu,
Hiranyareta,
Gritta
Krishta,
Medhatiti,
and
Vittihotra.
Yata Sankena,
by the same number.
Ekasmin,
in each island.
Ekam,
one.
Eva,
certainly.
Adipatim,
king.
Vidade,
he made.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Translation.
The seven oceans respectively contain salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water. All the islands are completely surrounded by these oceans, and each ocean is equal in breadth to the island it surrounds. Maharaj Priyavrata, the husband of Queen Bahishmati, gave sovereignty over these islands to his respective sons, namely Agnidra, Agnijiva, Yajnabahu, Hiranyareta, Vritta Krishta, Medhatiti, and Vittihotra. Thus they all became kings by the order of their father. Purport. It is to be understood that all the dvipas or islands are surrounded by different types of oceans. And it is said herein that the breadth of each ocean is the same as that of the island it surrounds. The length of the oceans, however, cannot equal the length of the islands. According to Viraragava Acharya, the breadth of the first island is 100,000 yojanas. One yojana equals 8 miles, and therefore the breadth of the first island is calculating to be 800,000 miles.
The water surrounding it must have the same breadth, but its length must be different.
Om Yajnanasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chachurmukhamena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Dati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Karakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunathanritam Tam Sajivam Sadhetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Lalita Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagate Gopesha Gopamana Radha Kanta Tata Kanchana Gauravi Radhe Vrindavani Sari Vishavanu Sute Devi Harmani Hare Priye Hare Krishna Gauravyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Kripatamaham Bande Shri Vinitayam Armananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Hare Krishna.
Before we start, we should pray for the health of His Holiness Jaipataka Swami Maharaj. I received an email yesterday, as did most of the world, that Mars is in very critical condition right now. In intensive care in Delhi, and his lungs are filling up with water, his stomach is filling up with water, he's on a respirator, he's having difficulty breathing, and it's a very critical time for Maharaj. So let us offer our deepest prayers for Maharaj's health, and we pray that Lord Krishna keeps him with us a longer period of time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And I can propose that we donate all the devotional credits that we acquired by today's 8-hour Harinam to Jagtaka Maharaj. And dedicate this Harinam to him. Hare Krishna.
Before I begin speaking, I request the blessings of all the devotees that are present, that I can speak for my own purification. Please, everyone, give me your blessings. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, today's discussion, we'd like to touch upon the point that what is Shastra? What is a scripture? And how important it is that we accept scripture. And not only that we accept some of the scripture, but we should accept all of the scripture as a package, as a body. It's not that you accept someone, you love someone, but you love his two arms and one leg, but not the other leg. You love the whole person. So similarly, we should love and we should accept the whole Shastra, not just parts of it. So earlier in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing how Maharaj Priyavrata is driving his chariot behind the sun god and creating so much illumination for the benefit of all the living entities on the earth planet. And not only he's driving his chariot, but the chariot wheels are making trenches as he's traveling, creating these oceans and islands that we're speaking about now. And these great dvipas, these islands, and in between each island, and each island is huge, like 800,000 miles. And there are huge oceans in between each island. And each of these oceans is made of incredible substances. I'll read again. The substances contained in the oceans are salt water. Wow, salt water. That one is okay with us, you know? We have some experience. We have, you know, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. They're all made of salt water. So, okay, salt water. All right, but it gets better, okay? The next ocean is made of sugarcane juice.
We have some sugarcane juice on the earth.
On Ekadashi, you want sugarcane juice?
No, ocean.
I don't see any ocean made of sugarcane juice. The only sugarcane juice I see is when I go to Mayapur. And the sugarcane juice, voila, has the sugarcane. And he has that machine, you know? And it has the bells on it. It makes a noise, jing, 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 ding, 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 ding. And he crushes the sugarcane. And I'm wondering, did anyone in his family get their finger caught in that machine? And it takes so much sugar cane to make just a little bit of juice. And then they double it up again and put it through again. So if we were going to have an ocean that's 800,000 miles of sugar cane juice, and doesn't say how deep is the ocean, how much sugar cane is required to make all that juice? Where did all that sugar cane juice come from? Must be a planet of sugar cane somewhere, and they import something like that. I don't want to speculate too much. Anyway, it gets better. There's one island, the next ocean is made of liquor. Liquor means alcohol, like brandy or gin, you know, or, you know, vodka. Vodka. It's an ocean of vodka. Okay? And there you are. And vodka is expensive, right? You know, I was passing through the Moscow airport. I was flying that world famous airline, Aeroflot. And the flight stopped in Moscow, and we went through the duty-free and everything, and they were selling all this vodka. And it was high prices, so costly. I was saying, these people are wasting so much money on vodka, just a small bottle. It must be costly because it must be hard to produce. You have to have grains and you have to, there's a procedure of distillation and there's a procedure for the grains to ferment and create the alcohol. And it's a whole procedure to make, you know, a little, you know, a few bottles. But here we have a whole ocean of vodka, of liquor. So this is also difficult to understand. How is it possible? Incidentally, when I was getting on my flight to travel on, I mentioned this yesterday to one devotee, that we got on the plane, and then after a short time they said, everyone, please get off the plane. Please get off the plane. So we all got down off the plane. They said, we're having some technical difficulties. And we got off the plane and we looked up at the plane and one of the engines was on fire. Oh. Aeroflot key! So they have these old airplanes, you know? The only way you can fly Aeroflot is if you take advantage of the ocean of liquor. The next ocean is that of clarified butter, ghee. This one sounds very nice. So, but even ghee is hard to make. You know, you have to milk the cow. You have experience?
Yeah.
You've done? Yeah, I was in New Vrindavan for 2 summers. And they said, if you want my Shiksha Guru, Radhana Swami, asked me to come there. And he said, if you come here, you have to milk the cows every day. So every day I was milking the cows. Great experience. Gomata ki jai. Yeah. So after you make the milk, then you boil the milk. You make yogurt from the milk. And then from the yogurt, you boil it down and create. You churn it first, right? Like Mother Yashoda? Mm-hmm. Ching, 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 ching. You make butter.
And then buttermilk.
And then you boil it down and then you have ghee after boiling a long time. So it's not easy to make ghee. But here we see whole ocean of ghee, 800,000 miles long. Must be yellow ocean. The next ocean is that of milk, the milk ocean. We heard of milk ocean before, right?
Yeah.
Shir Sagar, the demons and the demigods are churning the milk ocean. I don't know if it's the same milk ocean, might be a different milk ocean. And then from the milk ocean, so many things come. A horse comes, beautiful woman comes, poison comes, and then Lord Shiva drinks the poison. Some of the poison falls out of Lord Shiva's mouth, and some insects and some reptiles and some plants drink the poison, and the scorpions get their poison from there, and the snakes get their poison from there. And some of the poisonous plants, like maybe poison ivy, gets its poison from there. But there's a whole ocean made of milk. How many cows it took to fill up that ocean of milk? And no refrigeration. We have the walk-in cooler downstairs, right? You have some milk you keep in the cooler. What about the ocean of milk? How it stays cool? Any of these are amazing points. It's not mentioned in the purport, any of these things. The next ocean is emulsified yogurt. Dahi, yogurt. Emulsified, what does emulsified mean? No idea. Maybe some processed. They had to
It's a mix and then become liquid and smooth. Because yogurt can be like, you can take it with a spoon, like thick. But when it's emulsified, it's very smooth.
So someone went to the ocean of yogurt with a big, you know, big spoon and, you know, emulsified it. You know, or maybe they took like, when you make the cakes, they have the machine. Maybe in the ocean, you know. Probably not electric. Probably someone by hand. It was emulsified. So who did the emulsification? How did it get emulsified? It's a whole process. Otherwise, you know, like she says, cut it at the top. So I don't know where the emulsified yogurt ocean came from. And the last one, sweet drinking water. That's nice. We can use, you know, ocean of sweet drinking water. Very, very useful for human beings and plants and animals. So all the islands are completely surrounded by these oceans. And each ocean is equal in breadth to the island it surrounds. So these are just huge oceans. And then Maharaj Priyavrata gave these oceans and islands to his sons to rule. So that's nice. So the sons, they have some place to rule. Because he's a king. So the king is a kshatriya. So kshatriyas need to rule. They have Ishwara Bhav. They have this controlling nature. So they need something to rule. Shoryam Tejo Dhritir Daksham Yudhe Chapya Palayanam Danam Ishwaram Bhavascha Kshatram Karma Swabhavajam. These are the qualities of a Kshatriya. Shoryam is powerful. Tejo, he has strength. Daksham, he's expert. Yudhe Chapya Palayanam, he does not run away from battle. He stays in the fight. Dhanam, he gives charity. Ishwara Bhavascha, he has this Ishwara Bhav. Ishwara means to control. We all have it to some degree, but Kshatriyas are really strong in this. They need to control something. Like when the Pandavas and the Kauravas were getting ready to fight, after the Pandavas had been in exile for 14 years, and the Pandavas were saying, okay, give us our kingdom back. And the Kauravas say, we're not going to give you your kingdom back. And then Krishna came as a Shantidut to try to make peace and said, please give them some land. They're Kshatriyas. They need to rule something. And the Kauravas said, they said, at least give each of them one village. And the Kauravas said, we will not give them enough land that they can push in one pin. They would not give anything. So then there was the Battle of Kurukshetra. There was the whole fight over that. They would not even give enough land for one head of a pin. Because Kshatriyas, they need to rule over something. So here, Maharaj Priyavrata gave his sons, who are Kshatriyas, you rule over this island, you rule over that island, you rule over this island, that island. Everyone got an island. So they were peaceful, Shanti. So they all became kings. So, first of all, we can just speak about Shastra. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is a great scripture, a great shastra. Tadvad visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhavatyapi namani anantasya yashon kintaniya shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. Shukadeva Goswami declares in the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a completely different kind of literature than mundane literatures. And it will create a revolution in the lives of an impious civilization. It is, even though imperfectly composed, it contains the name, the form, the qualities, the entourage, the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is heard, sung, and accepted by all men who are thoroughly honest. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, it's so powerful, it will create a revolution in the lives of the impious civilization. It has the capacity to transform the heart. And it tells us, Dharma koitavo tra paramo nirmat saranam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapa trayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kim Va Ishvaraha Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kim Va Parer Ishvaraha Sadhyo Vidyavarudyate Tukritibi Shu Shu Shubhistai Chanat. That this Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all varieties of cheating religion and establishes Dharma as the and worship of the Supreme Lord as the supreme goal in life. Savaipam sam karo dharmo yato bhaktirad hoksaje ahoitakiya pratiyata yiyatma su prasidati. That by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, savaipam sam paro dharmo, which is paro dharmo. Paro means topmost. Dharma. Yato bhaktir, offering bhakti, devotional service unto Adhoksajay. Adhoksajay is another name for Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Ahoitiki apratiyata. That service should be ahoitiki, unmotivated. And apratiyata, it should be unceasing. It should be constant. It should be unending. As a result, yayatma supracedati. Yayatma, the atma, becomes precedati, means peaceful. Su means very. Su, supracedati. Su, it's su means very, very much. Su, Superman. Supracedati, very peaceful and very satisfied. So this is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost of all shastras. Now, we need shastra to tell us what is right, what is wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. It's like a manual for human life. When we buy a new CD player in the market, it comes with a manual. It tells us how to use it properly, what to do with it, what not to do with it. And when we get a human form of life, these scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Upanishads, the Itihasas, the Puranas, they're guiding us how to use this human form of life. So we need to take this guidance. If you buy a CD player, you read the manual, and it says, don't put under the water your CD player, don't put it in the bathtub. And it says, keep out of the sun. And it says, when you plug it in, don't put your fingers in the socket also. Be careful when you plug it in. So these three instructions and others are there when you buy the CD player. It's not that you can say, well, the first two instructions I think are good. Not to put it in the bathtub under the water. Not to keep it in the hot sun. But this one about being careful when plugging it in, I don't think that's so important. I'll just plug it in any way I want. Then, you know, and your seeker goes like that. So like this, we have to follow all the instructions in the manual in order to use it properly. So similarly, we need to follow all the instructions in the shastra in order to use it properly, not just a few of those instructions. And also, if we were to just try to pick and choose which instructions we wanted to follow, what we wanted to accept in the shastra, and what we don't want to accept in the shastra, then we think that we ourselves are perfect, that we are qualified to make such discrimination, that we're qualified to make such a decision. But we all know that human beings are subjected to four defects. We make mistakes. Just like Gandhi. Gandhi was told, "Don't go to the meeting tonight. You will be killed." Gandhi said, "No, no, I am going anyway." And he was on his way to the meeting, and Gandhi was assassinated. He was killed. Even such a great person as Gandhi, he's made mistakes. What to speak about us? And also, number two, we have imperfect senses. We think our eyes are so great, but if you're in a dark room with no light, you cannot even see your hand waving in front of your face. And if so, what about your sense of taste? If someone gives you an orange and you bite the orange, and then someone gives you a lemon and you bite the lemon, then the lemon will taste very bitter, very sour. But if someone gives you a lemon first and then you taste the orange second, then the orange will taste very sweet, much more sweet than usual. I have experience with, what was that? There was one thing that's very bitter. I forget, maybe it was neem. You take neem leaves, it's very, very bitter. And then you drink water, the water will taste sweet. So the sense of taste also will fool you. What about the sense of hearing? You can hear some sound like shh, and you think maybe it's some train is coming, some steam train. But someone has a tea kettle next door. There's only some steam coming out of the tea kettle. Or you hear next door to the ashram, in the next room, "Hey, stop! Hey, I'm gonna get you!" Boom, boom, you hear all the... And you think there's like some big fight going on. And then you go on next, and you look in the next room, and you see it's Bhakti Marg Maharaj, and he's directing a drama. So like this, our sense of hearing can also fool us. All the senses can fool us. Sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of hearing, sense of sight, sense of taste. So we cannot trust our own senses. Number three, we have a cheating propensity. We have this tendency that when we think something is right, we say, "Yeah, I think it is right," and then we share this idea with others. We may speculate something, some idea. For good health, we should swim in the milk ocean. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense, right? See, I'm convincing you. It's my cheating propensity. But who knows? There might be some milk sharks in the milk ocean. Some nurse sharks or some milk sharks, and it might not be good for their health. Right? Who knows? Might be good for their health, but not your health. So we have the cheating propensity. And fourth, we're subject to illusion. We think we're this body. But actually we're not this body. Na tvam evaham jatu nasam, na tvam neme janadipaha, na chaiva na bhavishyamaha, sarve vayam ataparam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor will there ever be a time when any of us cease to be." So Krishna is saying, "I have always existed, you have always existed, I will always exist, you will always exist." What do you mean, "I will always exist, you will, I have always existed"? This body, I was born 1965. Astrologer says, you know, I'm going to live to be 100, 120 maximum. Makes sense, huh? I think maximum. Once I was, just on a side note, I was with my Ayurvedic doctor in Bombay. And he said his Ayurvedic guru lived to be 135 years old. And he said, I want to live to be 125 years old. And I asked him, do you think I could also live to be 125 years old? And he said, yes, if you have a reason to live. So I thought this was a very profound statement. And I started meditating on what I would do if I had my whole life to give to Srila Prabhupada's mission. I'd be 85, touring Italy, giving lectures, 115 in southern United States, maybe 121, do a tour of Canada. Imagine how many people would come to see you speak, hear you speak if you were in your 120s. You know? Be very good for the preaching. So that night, I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. And I felt it was a reciprocation because I gave this meditation of giving my whole life to Prabhupada's mission. So this is a very healthy meditation that we can undergo to meditate that if I can give the rest of my life to Srila Prabhupada's mission, and I hope we all do that, that what we could do at different stages of our life to serve Prabhupada's mission, and how we'll utilize our prana. You can give four things to Krishna. You can give your prana, your life energy, you can give your dhan, you can give your money, you can give your vach, your words, you can give your thoughts. What would we do if we can give our entire prana for the rest of our life to Krishna? How would we utilize it? It's a very nice meditation. Today's Ekadashi, it's a good day for meditation. Also good in Ekadashi is not just meditation about the future, but meditation about the past. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a practice every Ekadashi. He would keep a journal and write what he did during the past 2 weeks during that Ekadashi and what lessons he learned during that time. So this is also a good use of Ekadashi to take this time to reflect and look back on our past. And actually the only animal in the jungle, the lion, he walks forward and then he stops and he turns around and looks back to see where he's been. It's the only animal that does that. So it's a very, very good practice. So we can also sometimes, as we're moving forward in devotional service, we can take a break and we can stop and look back and see where have we been and where have we come and how we've got here and what lessons we've learned. And this is a very good meditation on Ekadashi. We'll come and discuss more about Ekadashi later. We were talking about the four defects. And last defect is that we think we're this body, but we're the eternal spirit soul, not Tvameva Hamcha Tunasam. So we're not this body, we're not this 50-year-old body now. It's 25 before, now 50. Maybe it'll get older, maybe not. You never know. Chanaka Pandit says, trust no future, no matter how pleasant. And there's a nice saying in Hindi, Hum jo bhyojana banate hai, to Krishna haste hai. Which means, if you want to see Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. You had a plan yesterday. Mataji had a plan yesterday to go to Gita Nagari. But instead she went for Harinam. Yeah. If you want to see Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. I'm sorry, I'm diverting a lot. Please forgive me. So we discuss these four defects. That we have a tendency to make mistakes. We have imperfect senses. We have the cheating propensity. And we're under illusion. We think we're these bodies. So that's all an illusion. So the Lord is beyond all these four defects. Krishna is perfect. Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shasvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Bibhum. Arjuna declares in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna, you're perfect. You're unborn, you're pure, you know everything, you're Brahmatni, Paramatmatti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdate, you're all pervading Brahman, you're Sarvasya Charmani, Sannivisto, you're in everyone's hearts, and you're the Supreme Lord enjoying, the Supreme Enjoyer, Bhoktaram, Yagyatapasam, you're the Supreme Enjoyer in Golok Vrindavan. My Lord, you know everything, Upadristan, Mantacha, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, you're the overseer, you're the permitter, you know everything, my Lord. So the Lord is beyond these four defects. And the Lord is providing us with scripture. And Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond the four defects. So we want to understand about life. We want to get real knowledge. We have to get it from scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, not from our own speculation. Because we have these four defects that we just mentioned. And if we try to come up with knowledge ourselves, we'll be defeated. But if we get knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we will be victorious. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Prajakshavagadam Prajakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamam Yayam. That this knowledge is Rajavidya, it's the king of knowledge. Rajaguyam, it's the king of secrets. Pavitram, it's pure. Prajakshavagamam dharmyam, it can actually be experienced. Prajakshavagamam dharmyam. Su sukam, that word su is there again. Su means very. Su sukam, sukam means happy. And avyaya means everlasting. It's everlasting knowledge. If you get any material book, that knowledge is not everlasting, because everything in the material world is here today and gone tomorrow. But this knowledge is avyayam, it's everlasting, because it's dealing with spiritual subject matter. Adhyatmik gyan, spiritual knowledge. So this is the only way to get the truth, is from scripture, from the Lord. So sometimes devotees ask, well, scripture is given by the Lord, but the printing job, the typing job, the proofreading, the editing, this has all been done by devotees. So maybe it has some defects now. But if the Lord desires, the Lord can empower living entities to accurately convey the Shastra so that it remains perfect. The Lord is fully empowered. Most important thing, the Siddhanta has to be the same. The conclusion has to be the same. Sarva dharman prichaja, mame kam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha ishami masuchaha. Krishna says in 1866, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, did Srila Prabhupada emphasize this fifth canto? Now, this fifth canto, I looked in the Veda base, and Srila Prabhupada never gave a lecture on the first chapter of fifth canto. He gave lectures, I think, on fifth and sixth chapter, which is Rishabdev. Rishabdev's teachings to his sons. But all this about the milk ocean and the ghee ocean and the emulsified yogurt ocean and the juice, sugarcane juice and salt water and liquor ocean, Prabhupada never lectured on this. However, Prabhupada has given and is giving a lot of importance to this whole concept of the Vedic cosmology, because in our main ISKCON headquarters in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to build the temple of the Vedic planetarium with a huge chandelier in the middle of all of this, just giving all the details of all these oceans and islands and the Bhumandala and the Mandata Mountain and the elephants that it's all sitting on, and a lot of emphasis is giving. This is the center point of our Temple of Vedic Planetarium, our world headquarters, our showpiece of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
And Sadhguru, we will hold the horses.
Yeah, and the sun god is going with the horses. It's all going around. And maybe, I don't remember, maybe Mara's Priyavrata is chasing him, you know, and his chariot also going around. So it's really amazing. The point is that it's very important that we have to accept every part of the Shastra and not just this part and that part. It's not that we can say, well, Bhagavad Gita is nice. I like what it says about reincarnation. I like what it says about controlling the senses. I like what it says about three modes of nature. Oh, I like the Krishna Leela in the 10th canto is very nice. And Vaman Leela, Vaman Avatar, when he becomes Urukrama and grows up and takes three steps and covers the, wow, what a great story. This is great. But this oceans, seven oceans with liquor ocean and clarified butter, I don't, can I accept this? I don't know. And then what about these elephants? You know, the whole universe, the whole creation is being resting on these four elephants. How is it possible? I don't know if I accept this. See, we have to accept everything. It's a package deal. It's not that we can say, I accept this, I accept chapter one, and I accept chapter three, but I don't accept chapter two. We have to accept the whole thing. We have to have faith in the scriptures. Otherwise, if we just say, I'm just accepting chapter one and chapter three, but not chapter two, who becomes the authority? We become the authority. And we already discussed that we cannot be the authority because we have these four defects. So if we try to become the authority, if we try to discriminate what is true in Shastra and what is not true in Shastra, then we're just cheating ourselves. We become our own guru. Prabhupada says, accept 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We say, no, Prabhupada, we're just going to accept cantos 1 through 4 and 6 through 12. We're leaving out the 5th canto. Actually, many devotees had a lot of problems with the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was one devotee named Purushottam who was traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and he was Prabhupada's secretary. And it was at the time of the moon mission. The NASA was going to the moon. So they claimed to be going to the moon. This was also difficult for me because my uncle was working for NASA and he was one of the in charges of the moon mission. So I went to his office with him and I watched the satellites and everything. He's like, yes, now we're going to the moon. Then many years later, I found out it was all bogus, you know. But for many, many were confused by this, like Purushottam. So they watched it on television. Prabhupada was there with Purushottam and some other devotees. Malati Prabhu, she recently explained this incident in Festival of Inspiration. So they were all watching on television, and Purushottam was convinced, look, they've gone to the moon. And Prabhupada said, they didn't go to the moon. They went maybe the Arizona desert or something. It's a hoax, they just got some rocks like this. So Purushottam was like, no, they're going to the moon. And Srila Prabhupada said about the television, he said, turn off the idiot box. It's already made Purushottam into an idiot. So this is also a nice quote I just heard recently about Prabhupada calling the television the idiot box. So very important to stay away from the idiot box. So we have to accept the full scripture and not just a part of the scripture. If we want to just accept parts, that means we're throwing out Srila Prabhupada and we think that now I've become my own guru. There's a very nice saying in India that anyone who is his own guru has a fool for a disciple. I like that statement. Anyone who's his own guru has a fool for a disciple. So we have to accept the full scripture. If Bhagavatam says that there's seven oceans with salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water, and they're 800,000 miles wide. Jai. You know? We just have to accept it. You know, that's what's written here. And, you know, one may argue, but I never saw an ocean of clarified butter before. You know, but there's so many things we haven't seen. Why we think we have experience with everything? Prabhupada gives a classic example of the frog in the well. There was a frog sitting in the well. His friend came to visit him, another frog. And he said, oh, Mr. Frog, you never guess where I've been. And Mr. Frog said, oh, where have you been? He said, I went to the ocean. Oh, really? You went to the ocean? How big is the ocean? And his friend said, oh, it's so big, I can't even explain to you how big it is. So Mr. Frog said, oh, is it twice the size of my well? And the friend said, no, no, much bigger, bigger. Three times as big? No, no, bigger. Four times as big? No, it's huge. So like this, Mr. Frog, or Dr. Frog, sometimes we call him by his name when he has his degree. Dr. Frog had no concept about how big was the ocean, because he had no experience, nothing to measure it against, no understanding, no capacity. So similarly, when it comes to some spiritual topics, like these seven oceans that are 800,000 miles wide, made of clarified butter, sugarcane juice, liquor, emulsified yogurt, etc., we just have no idea. We just have no concept. But we should not expect that I must have some understanding of every topic. I must be able to grasp and comprehend everything in the scriptures. Some things are just beyond our capacity. We just have to admit that. You know, how many chapatis can you eat?
20.
Okay, if I give you 2,000 chapatis and say, eat, are you ready? No, because it's beyond your capacity. What to do? So some things are just beyond our capacity. So that's the essence of the discussion that I wanted to have today, that we should accept the whole Shastra, nothing but the Shastra, and the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Shastra, the whole Shastra, and nothing but the Shastra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Questions? Yes, one, two, three.
Just in the previous shloka, it says that each island is twice as large as the one preceding it, which means Prabhupada says the first is 100,000 yojanas, so the second is 200,000, and the ocean is this big, so it's 200,000, and then 400,000. So the ocean and islands get double in size every time.
Yeah.
I was just, there's three oceans that require cows.
It's a lot of cows.
Yeah, and they're
well.
Anyway.
Also, I was mentioning the cows in the class, but that's also my cheating propensity.
Yeah.
Because it's not here in the Shastra that the milk ocean and the clarified butter ocean and the emulsified yogurt ocean is coming from cows. Maybe Krishna just said Haribol and the oceans were there. You know? Like, Krishna can do whatever he wants. He can create milk without cows. There's kalpavriksha trees. Just see. Kalpavriksha trees can give you whatever you want. You go to Goloka Vrindavan, there's a kalpavriksha tree. You say, kalpavriksha tree, give me a mango. It will give you a mango. You say, give me a cherry. It will give you a cherry. You say, give me a lassi. It will give you a lassi. You say, give me an ocean of clarified butter. It will give you an ocean of clarified butter. So no problem. So maybe cow is not required, maybe kalpavriksha trees are sufficient. Or Krishna can use any method that he wants to create these things. He's unlimited. Thank you for bringing this up. Nice also to have the added detail of each ocean is twice as large as the previous ocean, right? The islands are twice as big and the oceans are twice as big. Thank you for adding this. Yes?
Do you know, is this Gumanta or is this beyond? Or?
You know, it's beyond my understanding at this point. Okay? Thank you.
I just wanted to share, we had a meeting with Maharaj before he left. And he was making the point that just in regard to what you were saying, we should accept the truth. We should accept chastity. We're saying that a Brahmana, because of his nature, when he receives knowledge, he accepts it completely and he applies it. He doesn't doubt about it, doesn't question himself, or he doesn't have to suffer to experience it. He just accepts it for himself and then he takes it and he applies it. So I thought that was very nice.
Yeah. Brahman is asamshayaha. Like Krishna says in 8th chapter, text number 5, Bhagavad Gita, antakale chamameva smarmukva kalevram yaprayayati madbhavam yati nastyacha samshayaha. Asamshayaha means without a doubt. He says, at the end of, if you just remember me, antakale, at the end of this life, at the end of this body, when you're giving up this body, ante kale kalevaram, when you're giving up this body, at the end of life, ante kale kalevaram, yaprayati samad bhavam, then you'll definitely come back to me, Krishna says. You'll come back home, back to Godhead. Nasam shayaha, please have no doubts. You know, Krishna says, don't doubt. So when Krishna is giving us knowledge from his own lips, from his own shastras, he's also instructing us not to doubt. It is also mentioned in Shastra that for one who's doubting, you know, there's no benefit in this life or the next. So one should give up one's doubts. It's challenging to give up one's doubts. That is one of the benefits of Sadhu Sangha. Because when we air our doubts in the association of devotees, other devotees can help us to overcome these doubts by sharing and discussing different aspects of scripture and realizations. Then we can help each other overcome our doubts. So that is one of the great benefits and gifts that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has given us in this wonderful Vaishnava Sangha, which contains a discussion of Shastra, which can cut our doubts with the sword of knowledge, and also the Sangha in itself, which is very nourishing, in which we can share our own realizations of the scriptures, which will also further help to alleviate our doubts. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Mataji, and then Prabhuji. Yes.
Is one of these three?
What's that?
Is our planet Earth is one of these dweeps?
Is our planet one of these dweeps?
And there is a name, I think somewhere there is a name of all these dweeps.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm looking at the previous, it says islands are Jambu, Plaksha, Samali, Kusha, Kroncha, Shaka, Pushkara. Is Earth planet on any of these islands?
Jambu Dweep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Jambudweep.
Yeah. It is Bhumandala. The preceding verse mentions okay. That this is Bhumandala.
Okay, nice. So we're on Bhumandala and Jambudweep contains the Earth planet. And all these other islands are there on the Bhumandala and all these oceans are also there on the Bhumandala. Okay, good. We have some orientation. First thing I do when I go to a new place, I take out my compass. I see which way is north, south, east, west for Gayatri and for sleeping like that, for eating, for studying. That's orientation. So it's good to get some orientation where you are. So now we have some orientation where we are. It will help us to function. Our function is to perform devotional service. Thank you for orientating us. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji?
Could you please open the same chapter, text 28.
28?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm looking at third part, and it says, in every day of Brahma, there are 14 manvantaras. Okay. The duration of one manvantara the lifespan of one man is 71 yugas, and each yuga is 4,320
4,320,000 years.
Years. So it said that each yuga and this number.
I'm not seeing which shloka you're on.
28.
Okay.
You have the same chapter.
Each yuga 4,320,000 years. Okay. So
yeah, because as we know, like as we heard before, like from different prophets, and that each yuga have a different duration.
Right. Well, what I speculate here is that the yuga that is being referred to here, that's 4,320,000 years, is a conglomeration of the four yugas that we're familiar with. You know, this is
combined.
Yeah, this our Kali Yuga, 432,000 years, and then Treta Yuga is double. Dwapara Yuga is double that. Treta Yuga is double that, and then Satya Yuga is double that. So I think someone could do the math, but I think it's very likely it'll add up to this 4,320,000 years.
It's called a Divya Yuga.
Divya Yuga.
The four together.
Four together is a Divya Yuga. So I think this Divya Yuga is being referred to here.
Okay.
You can maybe write to the BBT, suggest they substitute Divya Yuga for Yuga. Makes sense because it's a mathematical thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. There are still, I don't want to get into the topic of editing and changes in books, you know, but so this one, if you were going to do some editing, this one would make sense to me. You could add Divya in front of Yuga. Okay, thank you. Before we close, I want to just briefly touch on the topic of Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. Yeah? So we heard about the Pandavas and Kauravas. They had a gambling match that Duryodhana, he challenged Yudhisthira to gamble. And Yudhisthira was losing the gambling match, and he even lost his wife, Draupadi. And then Dushasana was disrobing Draupadi, pulling off her sari, and she was holding on to a sari and calling out with one hand for Krishna, help, help. And Dushasana was pulling off the sari, and then she lifted both arms, help me, Krishna! And then Krishna provided unlimited sari for her. So then when we need Krishna's help, we should lift up both hands and we should chant, Hare
Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
So then Yudhisthira lost the whole kingdom in the gambling match. So then they were exiled to the forest, the Pandavas, for 14 years. And if anyone discovered them again, then again they would have to do another 14 years. So they really had to stay hidden, Gupta, or incognito, as we say in English. So one time the five Pandava brothers and their wife Draupadi, they were traveling throughout Bharatvarsh, and they came to a place called Ekachakra Gram. Now, Ekachakra Gram is a very famous place for the birth of one very important personality in our line. Does anyone know who that is?
Nitai!
Gauranga!
Nityananda!
Just to remember Jack Fagamar. So this is the place where Lord Nityananda took birth. But that was later in another yuga, another part of the Divya Yuga. So at this time, the Pandavas were there during Dwapara Yuga, and they were staying in the home of a simple merchant family. There was a father and his wife and daughter and son. And the six of them were staying there with this family. And one night they heard weeping
and crying in the family. So Draupadi, she went to the mother and they said, she said, what is wrong? Why are you crying? And she said, the king has an arrangement here that there's a demon, and the demon's name is
Bakasura.
Bakasura, thank you. The demon's name is Bakasura, and we have to provide a cartload of food for the demon every day in a bullock cart. And whoever's driving the bullock cart, the demon eats all the food and then eats the bullock cart driver also. So daily there's a human sacrifice. And each family has to take a turn to provide the cart of food and the one family member to Bakasura. So today's our turn. So that's why we're crying. And I said I would go, but my husband said, no, no, it's my duty. I should go because I'm your protector. And then the daughter said, no, no, I want to go because it's my duty to serve the family. And then the son said, no, no, I want to go because I'm the son and I'm the only one that's expendable. You know, the father, he'll take care of you, but if he goes, there'll be no one to take care. So I'm going to go. So they're going to send their son. So then Draupadi said, but look, I have 5 sons and you only have 1 son. And the guests in a home become like family members in the house. So please let me send one of my sons instead. I do not want you to lose your only son. And anyway, my son will kill the demon. So the wife agreed, okay, you can send your son. So she sent Bhima. So Bhima is big Bhima. Bhima was huge. He was bigger than all the other Pandava brothers. And he was called Vrikodar, which means the voracious eater. And whenever, every day when the Pandavas would forage for food, they'd bring everything back to the whole family, and then they would divide whatever was brought at half. And half Bhima would eat, and half the rest of the family would share. So he was also very, very powerful and strong. And he got on the chariot and the cart, and he was carrying this big cart filled with food. And as he was driving to meet Bakasura, he was reaching behind him, and he was eating all the food. And by the time that they reached Bakasura, the entire cart was empty. He ate everything. So Bakasura came out and he saw the empty cart and he became wild with rage. Ah! What are you doing? You've eaten everything! I'll kill you! And he came to kill Bhima. And Bhima took Bakasura and just bashed him with his club and pulverized him and just like made his whole body into like a fleshy ball and like pushed his head in and pushed his arms in and pushed his legs in and just like played basketball, you know, the fleshy ball of Bakasura. Bhima ki jai. So Bhima had a voracious appetite. And of course, as Vaishnavas, we always follow Ekadashi. Once every 2 weeks, when the moon is in a particular phase of Ekadashi, we fast. Vaishnavas fast on Ekadashi. But Bhima was never able to fast. So he had a conversation, I believe it was with Lord Krishna, because Krishna is also his contemporary. And he said, Lord, he said, Krishna, I'm never able to fast on Ekadashi. What should I do? So Krishna said, for you, Bhima, we're making a special concession. And that if you fast completely from everything, including water, on this one day of the year, and then you'll get the full credit for fasting for all the other Ekadashis. So Bhima was very enthusiastic. Although it's very hard, because in India, on this day, it's like the hottest day of the year. It's extremely hot. And to go with no water, and they didn't have air conditioning that time. To go without anything to eat or anything to drink is a great, great austerity. And then Krishna also gave the benediction that not only Bhima, but anyone who fasts completely from food and water on this day gets all the benefits from fasting completely on all the other Ekadashis of the year. So this is a great opportunity if anyone has the inclination and desire to attain great spiritual benefit by fasting on this Ekadashi. Now, why Ekadashis are important? It's because we give less energy to our bodies and more energy to our soul. We give less time and attention to our bodies and more time and attention to the soul. So no eating means no cooking. No cooking means no cleaning. No cooking means no shopping or foraging. So a lot of time and energy is spent. And no eating means less sleeping. So less time is spent to bodily necessities. And more time can be given to spiritual activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandavam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Vednam. And especially we're very fortunate in this Kali Yuga that we have a great opportunity to engage in the Yuga Dharma, the Harinam Sankirtan. And today there's going to be an 8-hour Harinam Sankirtan. So all the time you would have wasted in eating and sleeping and shopping and cleaning can be spent in Harinam Sankirtan. The chanting of Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Just one note I'd like to share, that we should be careful about performing austerities beyond our capacity. Because the Super Soul is present in everyone's heart. This was actually shared with me by my Diksha Guru, one personal instruction. One Nirjali Kadashi around 1992 or 1993, I was in Delhi, which is one of the hottest places in India. And we didn't have an air conditioner. And I was very enthusiastic to try this Nirjali Kadashi. So I was fasting Nirjal, and because it was so hot, and because I was so thirsty, I couldn't sleep. So I stayed up all night chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I went to Delhi temple the next morning for Mangalarti. And during japa, my mouth was so dry that every hour, and then I had to wash my mouth out, you know, just to get the dead cells out of my mouth. My mouth was so dry. And then it became once every 15 minutes. And then practically once every 10 minutes, I was just washing out my mouth. Finally came the time for the breakfast. Boy, was I happy. Later that day, my guru called me to his room and he said, you fasted Nirjal? I was like very proud. I was like, yes, I did it. And he's like, you tortured yourself the whole night. And he said, don't perform these artificial austerities. And he said that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is in your heart. You're torturing your super soul. So this is an interesting perspective. It was an instruction given to one particular individual that may not apply to all individuals in all situations. It was a personal instruction. But it's an interesting perspective that we should not perform austerities just for the point of performing austerities. We should perform austerities for the point of coming closer to Krishna, closer to bhakti, and living our lives in such a way that we can comfortably perform bhakti. So this was Maharaj's perspective, and I appreciated that. It was a great experience that I'll never forget. And sometimes I still do perform Nirjala Kadashis from time to time. And actually the way traditional Gaudiya Vaishnavas perform Ekadashi is they start the day before Ekadashi. And they eat just basically one meal. And then towards evening, they'll eat very lightly some fruit or something. So then the next day during Ekadashi, the only thing in their system the whole day, there's no grains in their system. Like some people have a strategy that, okay, tomorrow's Ekadashi, so pizza feast, you know, like 10 o'clock at night, you know, so then I won't be hungry tomorrow. But then you're still digesting all that stuff during Ekadashi, so it's really not so effective. So traditionally, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they'll eat very lightly the day before Ekadashi. And then on Ekadashi, they'll do complete fast for food and water. They'll chant extra, and they'll stay awake all night chanting. They'll fast from sleep also. And the next day, when they break fast, it's not like huge feast to break the fast. It's just very lightly breaking the fast. Because actually breaking the fast is almost, is in some ways, more challenging than fasting. Because your body has to nicely adjust to start digesting again. So it's good to break the fast with some water, some fruit, something very light, some milk. Can I just finish this? Thank you. And then take a bigger meal later in the day and sleep after 1 p.m. After 1 p.m., take some rest. So in my personal experience doing this, it's kind of a cohesive event. Because by chanting extra rounds, you have the strength to fast. And because you're fasting, you're not tired, no need to sleep. So it's kind of a synergistic program. More chanting, less eating, less sleeping. So it's also good. It works out. So this is my personal experience. And once again, I'd just like to reiterate the purpose of Ekadashi and all of this fasting is to reduce the emphasis on the physical body and increase the time and energy given to spiritual activities like hearing and reading, associating with devotees, chanting, preaching, and Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna.
Well, I was wondering, for those who take medication, for those who take medication with fruit, what are we doing?
For those who need to take meditation with fruit, what to do? And probably better take the fruit and take your medication.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, those people have some physical disorders and require to eat, then it's good to eat.
I had experienced some Ekadashi, no problem at all. No hunger, a lot of energy, you can chat. And some Ekadashi, I have difficulty to see. So what is this
event? Maybe the modes of material nature going up and down. And then also our physical bodies, you know, also move in cycles, you know, with different energy levels and different states of health and different seasons also. It's not so easy to fast, you know, in the heat sun, hot sun. In the winter, it's not so hard like that. It seems like a material consideration to me. Is that okay?
I was thinking it could be consciousness, of course, mind.
Uh-huh. Mind is also material.
That's true. Thank
you. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Also material. So we'll fluctuate in modes of material nature. Is that all right? I feel like we should end because it's getting late. I'd like to thank all of you for your kind attention and association this morning. Thank you for tolerating me. Rantara Shmad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai.
Kamada Nirjali Kadashi Ki
Jai.
Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Tagore Premanande.
Ayo.
Manage this body.
Yeah.